Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure today to welcome Jason Tranter of the Mobius Institute to the podcast. Welcome, Jason.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that about covers it. There's been lots of articles out there and that sort of thing, conference presentations as well, but no, I think you've got it there.
Excellent. And the Mobius Institute was founded in 1999, and you guys do work all across the globe. You have offices in Australia, U.S., and Belgium, and then I've seen training in virtually almost every country I can think of.
That's right. Yeah, we have partners in, I think we're up to about 55 or 60 countries now with the training in, I think it's about 16 languages. So, yeah, just all over the world.
Excellent, excellent. And you've been involved in maintenance and reliability for how long now?
I think I really got involved first in about 1986, which is a long time ago now. But yes, yeah, about 1986.
And how did you get involved in maintenance and reliability?
Well, actually, it all started because I was working, I was an engineer, and but actually on the sort of the software and electronic engineering side of things, and got into it from a measurement point of view. So I was involved with Hewlett-Packard scientific instruments way back then, an analyzer called the HP3561, and I found that people were using it to measure vibration, but it was sort of very simple back then. They are the tape recordings of the vibration readings and then had to play it back through the analyzer. So that's where it all started. It was something that I'd never even heard of before, and it all evolved from that point. So I was involved with some power stations, paper mills, mining sites, and so on, and thought it was a fascinating field, and got into it from there.
Excellent. Now, what prompted you to start Mobius Institute?
Well, so through the history, so from 86 until the late 90s, I'd spent a lot of time actually on the sort of the consulting side, but also the development side of the software and instrumentation. And I could see the power of vibration analysis and the ability to get a very early warning of fault conditions and so on. But the biggest issue I saw was that a lot of the people who either wanted to get into vibration analysis or were involved with vibration analysis didn't have a complete understanding of the measurements they were taking, of the sort of the various vibration patterns and so on, or of the failure modes of the machines themselves. So we would give training courses, so sort of the old-fashioned way. I mean, some of this was before PowerPoint, but even still, even when PowerPoint came along, boy, I'm really dating myself, aren't I? But you kind of, you're standing in front of people trying to explain about vibration and spectra and time waveforms, and you're drawing things on the board, and you're showing these illustrations, and you're staring at people who are just, you can see in their eyes they're not really understanding it, and you just found yourself always basically having to say, trust me, this is the way it is, you just got to remember it. So people put together wall charts of vibration patterns and these rules of thumbs and so on. And it really meant that people just had to look at the measurements they were taking and look at these wall charts and say, well, that kind of looks like that, you know. And I became quite frustrated, I guess, that people were buying systems that had really a lot of capabilities but were using just a fraction of that capability. So I thought, well, I'm going to do something about that. And because I'd been heavily involved with software development and the sort of the science side as well as the application side, I thought I was in a pretty good position to create training materials, but that really heavily leaned on animations and simulations. So I could simulate the way the machine was working, simulate the way the measurement systems were working and the way the software worked. And it's kind of like trying to turn everything inside out so that you could really say, well, what if this changed? What if that changed? And you can see the changes. You can see how the patterns evolve. You can see how changing settings on an analyzer will change the measurement that you achieve. And so that, to me, you know, really changed the way people could be trained. It really made it understandable. You weren't telling people, hey, you just got to remember these things. People could actually, you know, see it for themselves and understand it. And to me, that's the absolute key. You know, if you're looking at vibration spectra and you can kind of reverse engineer what's happening inside the machine because you can understand the patterns and so on, well, then you've got it licked. You can figure out anything. If you're just relying on some sort of memory, then that makes it much harder.
Absolutely, absolutely. Understanding the equipment, how it interacts, the different failure modes you mentioned, you know, and how does that create vibration? It's truly critical to understand all those fundamentals and how they link to make any sort of condition monitoring program successful.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was sort of in a good position in terms of understanding the insides of it all. So, you know, and I was developing software, so I developed lots of software simulations that could explain that. And since then, gosh, we have must be 1,500 animations of machines and everything else. We have just lots of software simulations of just about everything, from the most basic concepts right up to the most advanced. You know, we teach really quite advanced vibration as well as the introductory stuff, and you know, just trying to make that understandable, you know, can be a challenge. But anyway, that was our sort of unique thing.
Oh, excellent, excellent, and it's been quite successful. So that leads me to one of the questions I get asked often is, do you have to be certified to perform vibration analysis?
No. No, you don't have to be. I would recommend it. The real key for me is to be trained at the correct level. So one of the challenges we have in the vibration world is that there is a series of standards called 18436. I'm actually on the ISO committee that develops those things, but there are four levels. So the first level is for the person who's just getting started and they're probably just taking the measurements. The second level is for a person who is performing analysis but not solving the most complex problems. The third level is the program manager and the person who is solving the more complex problems. And the fourth level, I like to call them, they're the superheroes of vibration, but they're really understanding the rotor dynamics of those big turbines and the really sophisticated stuff. So for most people, the normal program out there should have someone at the third level. The problem that I see is too many people are stopping at the second level, and some people even stop at the first level. Management say, oh, you've been on a vibration course, that's enough. And you know, sometimes vibration analysts, well, I don't want to say they have too much pride. I'm not sure what the right word is, but they may not argue strongly enough that they need more training. You know, when you put someone in a position of responsibility to say, well, this is the condition of the machine, and then they turn around and say, oh, but I need training so I can do this properly, it's a bit of a contradictory message that you're sending. So the bottom line is you absolutely need to get to the second level. And you really, really should get to the third level. That way you know that the program's set up properly and you can diagnose all kinds of faults with resonance, and the more complex are bearing faults, gear faults, pump faults, and so on. You learn more about how to fix the problems and deal with resonance issues. Resonance is a big issue we probably shouldn't get into, but anyway, it's a big deal. So certification works hand in hand with that program. It's one thing to send a person along to a training course. It's another thing to say, okay, I need you to demonstrate that you have a solid understanding of these concepts and that you can apply them. So the certification programs check that you have a sufficient level of experience, and they check your knowledge through examination, but also the application of that knowledge. All I can say is I've met people who can say, well, I've been doing this for 10 years. I've been doing it for 15 years. I don't need to be trained and certified. But upon closer examination, how can I put this delicately, there's clearly not a true understanding of what they're doing and how they're doing it. There's not a recognition that there's actually a better way to do it, that they could be getting an earlier warning, that they may not always be diagnosing faults correctly. They may not be taking the measurements correctly, and so on. So I personally think that the training is important, but certification just proves to either a consulting customer on the one hand or an employer that a person has the ability to, well, understand the information but apply it as well. It's not a perfect system. You know, I wish we had a system where we could send an analyst into a room that had all sorts of different machines with all sorts of different faults, and they couldn't, you know, they weren't certified until they solve them all. You know, that's just unfortunately unrealistic. But we have, for example, we're involved in certification, and we have all sorts of rules and checks and balances placed on us, but we have committees that decide all this stuff. You know, it's not just me. You know, we are actually accredited because we have committees that make these decisions, that understand the standards, that understand the application, that understand the needs of the employers out there and the consulting customers and so on, and thus create exams that meet those needs.
Excellent. And I think that certification, it demonstrates competency, true understanding and application of it. And I think that's vitally important. When you're investing that amount of people's time in the program, that amount of money in equipment and training, you want that to demonstrate that they can actually take this and make a difference in your plant. Now, How does one actually become certified? You mentioned take some courses, then they have to demonstrate the knowledge. Is there anything more than that? Or
no, there's just a few components. You have to show that you've been trained on the required topics. Now, whether that's through our course or someone else's course, as long as you can say, I have been trained on these topics and I have been through a certain duration. So, for example, the standards say that a course basically has to be 4 days long at the level two and level three, or category two and category three, and that certain topics have to be covered. One little challenge out there in industry is there are some companies saying, oh, yes, we follow the ISO standards, but their courses are 3 days long. It's like, no, but the standard says 4 days. And then you look at the list of topics, and anyway, I won't go on about that. Fact is that, yes, the standard says these are the topics that someone should understand. This is the amount of time you should take to be trained on them. And then you have to demonstrate that you have a certain number of months of experience. So 6 months for category one, 18 months for category two, and so on. And that just shows, okay, you've been out there, you've been doing this kind of work. It's not just someone sort of, for example, fresh out of university or something, taking a course and passing it and then not knowing one end of a machine from the other. So the idea is they've had some experience, and then there's a validation process with that. And then there's the exam. So the exam, you know, either has, well, it's 100 questions or they're all different. I won't bore you with the details, but yeah, so there's a process, but basically there are, you know, a number of companies out there that offer the training, and a smaller number that have the accredited certification as well.
Excellent. And Mobius Institute is one of those that has that accreditation, correct?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Excellent. So for those that are either in their vibration analysis journey or looking to start their journey, what tips or words of wisdom do you have?
You know what they say about a guy who only has a hammer as a tool, you know, every problem looks like a nail. Well, I am a strong believer in education. You just can't learn enough, from my perspective. And the more you read and listen to podcasts like this and look at videos and so on, you know, the better. So from your own personal point of view, starting a program or you're running with an existing program, the more you can learn about, you know, the detail of vibration analysis, but also these broader topics that we're bringing up, understanding other condition monitoring technologies, understanding the root causes of failure, you know, understanding issues like criticality and, you know, what the planners and schedulers are going through. I mean, my personal belief is that within an organization, a program's going to work so much better if more and more people understand what you are doing and you understand what they're doing. You know, too many people, too many sites have a very good vibration analyst who will report that there's a problem, but other people in the organization just don't believe it, don't agree with the philosophy of condition-based maintenance. So they still do their time-based maintenance activities. They ignore until it's urgent the fact that there's, that vibration has detected a problem, or, the vibration analyst says there's a problem, so they send old Joe out there to listen to the bearing to just verify that this vibration stuff's working. And if old Joe can't hear there's a problem, well, then there must not be a problem. And, it's so important to have that sort of cross education, both in terms of the vibration analyst understanding the world around them, the maintenance and operational world around them, but also for other people to have the whole idea of condition monitoring and the precision maintenance activities sort of demystified at least. But there are lots of resources out there. It's not that you have to spend money to get some of that education. There are opportunities out there to learn for free to, make a start. And I would be taking advantage of all of them.
I couldn't agree more. Education is extremely powerful, and that's what makes you aware. You may not be an expert in it, but you're aware of something that could be going on or possibly influencing your readings, and then you can go ask the right questions, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So if you could change one thing in all the vibration programs that you've seen, what would that be?
Ooh, I only get to change one thing, huh? Look, if I could change just one thing, it would come back to that topic that I just mentioned. I think vibration analysts would have a much happier day if the rest of the organization understood what they were doing. And if there was a true understanding, we talk about the reliability culture and so on. If there was a much greater understanding of all these things, then everyone would get along a lot better. There would be fewer failures in the first place. And then when failures are detected, there'd be a much better response to them. There's lots of other things you'd like to do, making sure measurements are being taken properly, making sure people use time waveforms and phase in addition to spectra, understanding the other condition monitoring technologies. They're all very important. There's so many important things that a person can be doing. But spreading the philosophy and converting people so that they appreciate what this is all about is really important. And, one of the things, I said I got started in 1986. Way back in those days, I used to talk to people about condition-based maintenance and predictive maintenance. And back then it was, not an entirely new concept, but a fairly new concept. And I must say that surprising or disheartening. I don't know what the right word is, but that we're still talking about it today. We're still having to convince people today that the philosophy of condition-based maintenance is important, that we're still convincing people to operate machines a certain way to deal with all of those root causes of reliability issues, that we still need to educate people. And that's why Mobius exists, just finding new ways to help spread the word and educate people so that it is really easy to understand and sort of accessible, to make it easy for people to understand and get the message.
Yes, absolutely.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
And that leads me to my next question, is where can people find out more about you? What activities and events are you going to be at? What are you hosting? And where can people find out more about your training and accreditation program for vibration analysis?
Well, the first place is our website, mobiusinstitute.com. And we have on there lots of information about our training classes. On there, you can sort of look at the list of countries and see where all the training classes are being held around the world. All those people have been sort of trained by us and gone through a process to make sure they deliver the training properly and so on. So that's sort of on the vibration training side and the certification side. You can certainly read all about certification and training there. But I should say that we have some opportunities to learn for free as well. So number one, on our website, you can sign up for our general newsletters, but I highly recommend that you sign up for the 9 Minutes of Knowledge email list. We have so many people writing to us that they love those emails. So you know, okay, so we're talking for a while here, and it's sometimes difficult for people to put it enough time aside. Well, the idea of 9 minutes of knowledge is that you get the email and you watch a little video that goes no more than 9 minutes, and it's just a video about a particular topic. We have some videos on the various aspects of vibration analysis and a series of videos that's really reliability related, all these root cause business and reliability improvement, precision maintenance and so on. So it's just, you know, you can usually get 9 minutes to look at something like this. It's just a little bit of information and then you wait until the next email comes. And it's all for free, you know, just go ahead. We also on YouTube, if you go to the Mobius Institute YouTube channel, quite a mouthful, you'll see lots of free videos, and we have, I forget, a couple hundred thousand views or something like that. It's a lot. So there's lots of videos in there you'll see. We often deliver webinars as well. So in this year, we've got a series of webinars coming out, and you'll get notification of them through our newsletters. We also now run conferences. So as of last year, 2016, we have the International Machine Vibration Analysis Conference. Even though we do a lot in reliability improvement, there are other conferences out there that, you know, talk about maintenance and reliability. And we thought, well, rather than just adding another one to that, there was so little on vibration analysis and the surrounding condition monitoring technologies that we thought that should be our focus. That's really what we felt was needed out there in industry. So we have the IMVAC, International Machine Vibration Analysis Conference, and the next one is in the Middle East, in Dubai in April, then in Antwerp in Belgium in June, in Australia, that's where I'm talking to you from right now, in Surface Paradise in September, and then in Orlando in November. And each year we have, we'll announce where the conferences are and what the dates will be. We have information on MobiusInstitute.com, but also vibrationconference.com will take you straight there and you can see those conferences. We would love you to attend, and of course we'd love you to offer to deliver papers as well. We really try to lean heavily on case studies. So the beauty of these conferences are you will not only be meeting people just like you who are either new to vibration or been running programs for a while, so it's just people who are, you know, focused and they have the same challenges as you and they may have solved your particular problem before. We really sort of push on the networking side, so getting people together. But we have lots of presentations with case studies. So you will learn, you know, this problem existed, these are the technologies or measurements and so on that were used to detect it, so and solve it, and this is how it all turned out. So we think, okay, so we have our training classes that helps with the understanding of the theory and all the other things we've discussed, and those classes are very important, but we all know what an incredibly important job vibration analysts do. We know they're under tremendous pressure, and even though we've got those free videos out there, it's difficult to keep learning, and it's very difficult to learn about problems that you may not have seen yet. So that's why we put on these conferences with workshops before them. And we've just run one conference last year in November, and it was really successful. We were really pleased with how it went, so that was all good. So, yep, we got the training courses. We got a product called iLearn Reliability, which really paints the whole picture of reliability improvement, all the condition monitoring technologies and philosophies and so on, but all the way through up to how to run the, you know, proper reliability improvement program. The vibration training classes and certification, free stuff on YouTube, free stuff via the 9 minutes of knowledge and other newsletters, and the conferences.
So you guys are busy. You are a very busy man trying to pull all this together all over the globe. It's amazing that you can actually pull all this off, to be honest.
Well, thanks. But, you know, and yes, it is busy. And I should say I speak at other conferences as well around the world. thankfully, I've got a fantastic team of people working with me, you know, both in Australia here and in the United States. We have a number of people scattered around the United States that work on all these things, and in Belgium. And then we've got terrific partners all over the world, and they run their individual conferences and assist us with the conferences. So, yeah, so that's all good. We'd be lost without them, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us about vibration today. I know I definitely learned some more information on vibration, and I'm sure our listeners did as well. You know, it's vitally important that experts like you share your knowledge with everyone, that's whether they're experienced or new in the industry, because it helps grow our knowledge, like we talked about. That is so vitally important to making all this successful.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you providing another way for people to learn. It's all very important, so I appreciate that for sure.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jason, and have a great night.
Yep, you too. Thank you.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.